The Church Media Podcast, episode number 27, Creating Better Worship Slides with Jeff McIntosh. Let's do it.
Hey there. Welcome to the Church Media Podcast.
The definitive podcast for creating dynamic experiences and building solid production teams at your church.
Video, audio, lighting, stage design, volunteer culture, and more.
You can find the show notes for this episode at 1230media.com/podcast.
And now, broadcasting from the heart of the South, here's your host, Church Media Coach Carl Barnhill.
Welcome to episode number 27 of the Church Media Podcast. I'm Carl Barnhill, your host. This is the definitive podcast for helping you create dynamic experiences and build solid media production teams at your church. Show notes for this episode are available online now at 1230media.com/podcast. Just click on episode number 27. You'll find tons of free shareable content for your team. You can download free transcripts, show notes, and more. 1230media.com/podcast and click on episode number 27 for the content that we'll share with you in this episode. All right, on the show today, I welcome Jeff McIntosh. Jeff is the mastermind behind churchmotiongraphics.com, a top-selling church media producer that specializes in motion backgrounds, announcement motions, and countdown timer videos. He's also the author of the Worship Media Handbook, which we're going to talk about in this episode. Jeff, welcome to the show, man. Thanks for joining me.
Hey, thanks for having me, Carl. Thanks for having me on your podcast.
Now, you and I do similar work in the church media space. You create more off-the-shelf type media. That's the media you kind of lean into. And then I lean in more to the custom media portion of the space. We both do a little bit of both. But I'd love for you to share how you got started doing motion graphics and how did Church Motion Graphics come about?
Yeah, it's been a pretty long process, and I can talk more about it, but I got into church media through volunteering at a church on a design team for a young adults community. And I had a pastor who kind of just loved media and loved visuals. So sky was the limit, you know, making countdown timers, making custom openers for the service, backgrounds, all kinds of stuff. So that's really what got my feet wet about really what the church needs.
Now, how did you get into motion graphics specifically, and how did that lead into Church Motion Graphics, your company?
Sure. So, yeah, before I did anything at the church, I went to school, got a diploma in digital media design. So there I learned After Effects, Photoshop, Illustrator, you know, even web design, 3D animation. So that really gave me the foundation and the tools to do the work. I was self-taught before that, but this really gave me that jump start, what I needed. So that when I was volunteering at the church, I could actually like create, you know, fairly good content. Kind of fast forward from there, started kind of a freelance business, making work for other churches, and then started getting into commercial motion graphics and finding a niche in that. And kind of fast forward from there, was seeing that I wasn't making stuff for the church anymore, honestly. I was doing a lot of commercial motion graphics, and it kind of broke my heart that I was no longer doing work for the church, and yet that's how I kind of started. So I saw that there was needs for, like you said, off-the-shelf content, so I started creating moving backgrounds that really any church can buy from me and download and use, and that's how Church Motion Graphics started.
Now, how old is the company? How long have you been doing it? How long have you been full-time, and what does it look like now?
Yeah, Church Motion Graphics started about 5 years ago. Yeah, basically burst out of my commercial motion graphics business that I'd been running 2 or 3 years before that full-time. I jumped in 5 years ago, and then full time I think about 3 years ago, I would say. something like that I do it full time.
That's really cool, man. Now, give me a snapshot of the website. What is Church Motion Graphics, the site look like, your subscriptions look like? Give me a snapshot of what you do and what you offer.
Sure. So, yeah, we make screen visuals for churches. Our main product is our subscription, $10 a month, and basically I send you all of the newest stuff I make on the first of every month. So that's moving backgrounds that go behind your worship lyrics, announcement motions, so things that say welcome or upcoming events, and then a five-minute countdown timer. And a lot of that stuff matches so that you can have a common look on your screen among your countdown timer to the background that you use in worship.
Now, you've put together an incredible resource to that regard and how to use that content in your experience. You call this the Worship Media Handbook. Tell me about the book and the journey of putting the book together.
Yeah, sure. It's the Worship Media Handbook. I launched it in January of 2014, and I tell this to a lot of people. I look back and I go, how did I ever write a book? It's kind of, I can't believe it sometimes that I actually found the time to do this. But 101 pages, and it took me 9 months to make. Most of it in my spare time in the evenings. I only had one kid at the time, so I now have two, and I think that was the X factor. I was able to carve out some time to be able to do that. I look at my schedule now and go, how would I ever be able to write a book? But I got the idea when I was serving in a media role, doing the lyrics, putting the slides together for a community that met once a month, so kind of this once a month event. I was the lyrics guy, I was the media guy, and I'd been doing that for a couple years, and I was the only guy that did it. And I made the biggest mistake of never training someone else to do what I was doing. And there was one month where I had to go away. I was at a conference, and I thought to myself, I'm not going to be there, and there's a certain quality and standard that this this community is used to. And I just had to give some websites to my friend and say, just follow this and do the best you can. And I thought to myself, I wish there was just this one resource I could give to a person and say, here's kind of everything I know, here are the best practices, all the tips and tricks, to put together a solid presentation, to edit it well, and present it well live. And that was really the seed of the journey to creating the Worship Media Handbook.
All right, so from that book, you're going to give us five things that you want to share that will easily take our worship slides to the next level. And the book is, like you said, over 100 pages long, so I know it's, we're going to condense it here. But give me a few takeaways that we can learn from the Worship Media Handbook that can help us create better worship slides. What you got?
Yeah, sure. So, one of the sections is on typography. Here we're putting these words up on the screen and communicating, a message. Most of the time it's words to a song. And a common mistake I see is when the words don't separate from the background well. So to do a good job and you want to kind of make that separation between the foreground, which I would say were the text and the words, and the background, which is still graphic or a moving background. Pick a font that's bolder, a little thicker. Use white text. Put a drop shadow on that text if you can. Soften that drop shadow so it really looks like it's standing on top of it or sitting on top. And if you can, use backgrounds that maybe are a little bit darker, so that white text can pop off even more. I've seen it so often when maybe a thinner font is on the screen. It's a very busy background. And maybe they even have a stroke, and sometimes strokes on presentation programs kind of eat away at the text. It kind of moves inward and actually makes text even thinner, just making it harder to read, and that's not good. We're really trying to make clear messages on the screen, and if that text can stand off from that background, then you're really doing the best job you can.
Now, the next section in your book has to talk about layout. Give me some takeaways from that section.
Yeah, so another common mistake I see on screens when it comes to layout is the number of lines of text that someone puts on the screen at one time. The standard right now would be to have two lines of text at one time. And this is important for, you know, just a couple different reasons. One of the main ones is that it's easier for your audience to stay focused when there's less text on the screen at one time. It looks a lot cleaner. Yeah, it's easier to follow along, you know, where the song is. And if you are using a background, whether it's abstract or, you know, even just a photo, when there's less lines of text on the screen, there's more room for that background. I often hear, you know, backgrounds are distracting, and that's a common complaint. Whenever I release a background, I'm always testing and seeing how a white text looks over top of it, and yeah, definitely bringing down the whites in my background so it's not competing with the white text. Really focusing on what's happening in the center area, because that's where the text is going to be, and making sure there's nothing there that's maybe very detailed or high contrast that can be competing with that text, and just making sure it's going to look good. That's key.
You know, I think one key thing that you said that I've gone over and over on our blog and stuff too is the amount of lines that you put on screen. You said that the standard now is probably two, and I've even said that 2 to 3. Maybe 4 for hanging word, maybe, but 2 to 3 lines at max. And some of them, you know, if you're doing IMAG, sometimes that's on the lower third or on top of the camera shots. But if it's a moving background like you create, you know, what would be your, you think 2 lines is definitely the way to go? Where's the kind of landing point or standard now? You think 2 lines definitely?
Yeah, 2 lines of text is standard right now. 3 lines, I would say, is the maximum, just because sometimes that's how the song goes. It just needs to have 3 lines at a time, and you're maybe singing it very quickly. If you're seeing 4 lines of text, most often you can split that into 2 slides very easily. So it just makes it easier for your audience to follow along with the song. The text isn't overlaid on you know, so much the screen at one time. There's a lot of room.
Yeah. All right, great tips, great insight. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, Jeff's going to give us 3 more tips for creating better worship slides for your church. We'll be right back. Check this out.
This is the Church Media Podcast.
The show notes for this episode are available now at 1230media.com/podcast. Seriously, check them out. They're awesome.
Jeff McIntosh, the director of Church Motion Graphics, has created a brand new ebook called the Worship Media Handbook. And anyone involved in the worship lyric projection process looking to improve the quality of their worship slides is going to benefit from reading this book. It describes the best methods to compose, edit, and present professionally crafted worship slides. This detailed handbook will teach you how to put together high-quality worship presentations and help you to communicate your messages more clearly. Buy the Worship Media Handbook today and start creating better worship presentations.
You can order this amazing resource from my friend Jeff McIntosh and Church Motion Graphics at worshipmediahandbook.com.
To sponsor an episode of the Church Media Podcast, visit 1230media.com/advertise. And now, back to your church media coach, Carl Barnhill.
Welcome back. I'm talking with Jeff McIntosh from Church Motion Graphics about how you can create better worship slides at your church. If you haven't checked out the Worship Media Handbook, let me give you the website, worshipmediahandbook.com. All right, Jeff, you have 3 more easy takeaways for churches to help them create better worship slides. We're on number three, and this section of your book talks about color theory. Tell us about that.
Yeah, I've worked with lots of slide operators, and something that non-designers and non-artists don't know about is that, you know, all of the colors that we have, we can kind of separate into two different categories. One's warm colors, or, you know, people call them kind of summer colors, and then there's cool colors or winter colors. And not that you have to use one color at certain times of the year or not. It's just that, you know, warm colors are your oranges and yellows and reds, and your cool colors are your blues, greens, and teal, that type of thing. So this is important for kind of two reasons. When you're pairing colors together, it's very simple to stay within the same season. So let's say, you know, you're trying to pair your lights with your background, and you don't want to just have it all blue. Well, maybe have blue and green, or teal and blue, that type of thing, and just keep within that same season, or switch it to the warm side, orange and yellows, that kind of thing. Very, very simple way to pair colors together. And then secondly, there's emotion that's paired with colors. So when you think of cool colors, we think of very calming, relaxing, subtle emotion or feeling. When we think of warm summer colors, we think of life and energy, a movement and things maybe that are fast moving. So, when you're pairing a background with a song, maybe that's slow, pick a cool color. When it's a fast, energetic song, maybe pick a warmer color. Very, very simple tip, but can make a big difference if you're not aware of it.
That's really neat. Now, talk about this, though. In ProPresenter especially, other presentation softwares, the same. You can actually change the color properties. Let's say you pull in a motion background and you're trying to match it with your lights. You can change the color properties of that background to match your lighting. Talk about what you think about that, and maybe any tips or tricks that you have to that regard.
Yeah, that's a great tool, and I think ProPresenter is the only presentation software that can do that, which is unfortunate. I think that's a really powerful tool, and it really extends the use of any visual you have, whether it's moving or still, because you have something that looks great. You know, you love it, and it's the right type of animation or the right type of texture, but it's green, and you need it to be blue, so. Load it up in ProPresenter, very simple in the media properties, and just dial it to a blue color. Sometimes it works really well. Sometimes it doesn't, and I find that if the colors in the background are very similar, then it kind of the color the hue shifts very easily. If there's a lot of different colors within the background, they'll all change at the same time. So sometimes the result isn't as good, but it's worth a check, and a very simple way to change a background on the fly.
Yeah. Okay, the next section of the Worship Media Handbook is all about editing, how to edit your slides and edit different things concerning your worship slides. Talk to us about this section, and how did you write it, and what are some things that are included?
Yeah, sure. Editing's a big part of the slide creation process. You put your slides together, you pull your songs in, and you need to go through them. They don't come in ready to go usually. You need to look at them and make slides and separate text so that if you have nine lines of text on one slide, you separate those into four or five slides. Take out punctuation that you don't need. So maybe a comma at the end of a sentence or an end of a line, especially in worship lyrics, specifically commas and exclamation marks and periods and things like that can be taken out when they're at the end of the line. Another thing that is common is seeing what's called a widow on the screen, and that's when a word on a line kind of gets bumped down to its own line because of the word wrapping that occurs in a program. So you have this one word on a line that I know in some songs there is just, you know, one word we sing, but this is actually a word kind of being bumped down from a line above it, and that's something to look out for. Maybe you need to split that line because it's too long and it's word wrapping, or I don't know, even just maybe your font size is too big. Just something to look out for.
Yeah, that is definitely something to look for and think about, is to not have widow words or orphan words. And again, to try to, like one thing I try to do is try to also go with the flow of, edit the slide in the flow of how you would sing it. So there's not like, you're not breaking the slide in the middle of a sentence or a thought. You try to kind of put that together. Do you have any tricks to that regard?
Yeah, I talk specifically in the book about this, where to break, where to make a line break. And, you know, commas are common places. I can't think specifically off the top of my head, but I do have a list of, like, specific locations to make a line break. Especially, yeah, if there's a period, that would be a good line break spot. I think and or something is a good spot as well.
So you
kind of have to think of the thoughts within the verse, and even sing it out in your head, or watch a YouTube clip of the video and see where the pauses are and the natural breaks in the song. Sometimes if you're not familiar with the song, it's not clear exactly when there's breaks in the song.
All right, so the last section of your book talks about presenting, how to present worship slides. Tell me about that.
Yeah, so you've put the slides together, you've edited them. Now you actually have to run them, and that's just as hard as the other parts. Maybe even the hardest part, because here you have a couple 50 people watching. Maybe you have 1,000 people watching your presentation, and they're all relying on you to have the words up at the right time and have the right slide up at the right time. One big thing that teams and volunteers have a difficult time with is the timing of the slide change. And that's a big deal. We've all been there at a church, we're singing along and the slides are always coming up late. Mm-hmm. You're on the second, third word of the next slide, and then the slide changes to that one. Mm-hmm. And for people that know the song, it's still distracting.
Yeah.
We're still reading the song, reading the lyrics, even though we know the song. For those who don't know the song, they can't even follow along because they just don't know it. They're relying on those words. So
my rule of thumb in leading lyrics is the word before the last word. So as soon as we start singing the word before the last word, as soon as we start singing it, that's when we advance it. That kind of is the rule of thumb that I use. Is there a rule of thumb that you kind of use when leading lyrics?
Yeah, that rule works. I've heard it, don't let the community, see the last word. Same idea. You're switching before you get to that last word. It kind of depends how fast or how slow the song is.
Yeah, so true.
I don't know. I go to a church that we sing fairly slow songs. So my rule is that slide needs to be up 2 to 3 seconds before we sing it.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes there's enough time without having to cut off that last word.
Right.
So it really just depends how fast the song is, how many words you have up at a time, how long those breaks are in between. Because, in common slow songs, there's actually enough time in between to have no words up on the screen.
Right, a blank slide
between.
Really
with it, right? Yeah, like even just, 2 seconds where there's just a blank screen instead of that pause. That kind of awkward long pause of the new lyrics are just up a little too fast, so it can kind of go both ways.
Yeah, absolutely. Man, thanks so much. I know we've just scratched the surface of what the Worship Media Handbook deals with. We've just talked about just a little bit. Tell us what more we can see in the book. How can we get it? How can we find out more about it and purchase it from you?
Yeah, just go to worshipmediahandbook.com. You can buy it there. It even comes with a free pack of media to kind of help you out. It's been sold and used at over 1,500 churches, still being sold today. So it's helped out a lot of teams. Definitely going to help you compose slides, edit them, and present them well. And some person even said, like, it's the unwritten rules of presentations written down. So it's very detailed. It's non-presentation software specific. So I hope people check it out. And it's also a site license. So, you know, download it once. You can print it out on a regular paper and give it out to all your team or give it out as a PDF.
Very cool, man. Thank you so much for joining me and sharing these tips and tricks. I really appreciate your time, buddy.
Hey, thanks a lot for having me on your podcast. I appreciate it.
Thanks, man. You can follow Jeff on Twitter at JRS McIntosh, or you can follow Church Motion Graphics at Church Motion. I want to thank you for joining me this week on the Church Media Podcast. We want to learn from guys like Jeff and each other how to create experiences at our churches where people meet Jesus and where they take their next step with Him. If you want more on this topic, I would love for you to go to our website. I've talked extensively about worship slides and layouts and worship slide fonts and that sort of thing on our blog at 1230media.com. Or be sure to check Jeff out again. You can follow him on Twitter at JRS McIntosh, or you can follow Church Motion Graphics at Church Motion. You can go to 1230media.com/podcast, click on episode number 27, and you can get all the show notes for this episode. Everything that Jeff and I talked about in this episode is right there for you for free in a condensed format. You can even print out a PDF and share these ideas and insights with your team. Again, that's 1230media.com/podcast. I want to thank my producer for this episode, legendary producer David Michael Hyde. David is a contemporary composer and music producer for film and digital media. David is working on composing scores for short films and features. The guy is amazing. If you have a project that needs a score, this is the guy to get. Go find him at davidmichaelhyde.com. If he's got time, maybe he'll do your project. davidmichaelhyde.com. Thanks again for joining me this week. Go out there, guys, and create some amazing experiences this Sunday. I'll catch you next week.
Thanks for listening to the Church Media Podcast. Get the show notes for today's episode at 1230media.com/podcast. And be sure to rate and review this podcast in iTunes. For more free church media resources, visit 1230media.com. We'll see you right here next week for another episode of the Church Media Podcast.